Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 here for the first day, a.k.a. the Sunday service. First day service, the Yom HaRishon. Yes, I'm the head of the new Shabuah right here. After the Shabbat podcast, we still have the Haftarah, right, the prophet's reading right here for this fourth of the seven Shabbats. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, let's just refresh some of these windows right here, because right on the cusp, right, of the after the Sabbath service for this RSS, Rastafari Sabbatical Study, the Torah Reading and Feeding, 48th degree of I&I Sabbatical Torah Reading and Feeding, known as Shoftim, as judges. Now, there's a whole lot right there, in that hopefully we can go through these the questions, the Q&As, right, about 72 very important Q&As. Hope ones and ones was taking good notes, you know, even in listening to it again. It's really amazing in a sense, you know, and listening to it again, though we have gone through it at different levels, you know, some of the nuances, some of the clarity, you know, the contextuality that really comes in, the full of it, you know, the applicableness of it. So we went through the Torah readings. Right, the Torah readings here for this Shabbat Shoftim. Now we have the Haftarah, right, the Haftarah, the prophet's reading. So let's speak about Anoki who? Anoki. Now in the Hebrew, right, in the Hebrew we have about two or three different ways of saying like the first person pronoun, you know, for I. Like we have Ani. Right, Ani within the Hebrew. But we also have another form, right, of Ani, Anoki, right, Anoki, who. I am he. So the Haftarah, coming forward, giving thanks to the fellow co-laborer, the fellow priest in this service here, to Ras Sahar Ahad, as well as Ras Ayasin Tefarai. We have the Haftarah on deck, which is the prophet's reading here for the fourth of the seven Shabbats of comfort, right? And the Sabbaths of comfort, they precede the Hebraic, the Judaic, the new year, right? So we're coming up to the Yom Teruah. It's in the Torah, translated as the Day of Trumpets. That same day, the Yom Teruah, in the latter tribe is also called and referred to as Rosh HaShanah. Rosh, the head. Ha, the Shana, the head of the year. So here's where we're moving into the civil year. So in a sense, there's like 2 years, in a sense, or at least a year has the holy aspect, or we call it like the church in the wilderness, the churchical aspect, the called out assembly aspect in the first 7 months, the seven moons, beginning with Pesach, beginning with Passover. And then when we come to the seventh month, the seventh moon, we fulfill in the seventh month, the seventh moon, which is called Tishri, in the later, among the later, say, Judaism or later days, it's known like nowadays as Tishri. But in HaTorah, it's referred to as the seventh month, the seventh moon. So this is how you can recognize it when you go through the scripts, once you go to the seventh month, the seventh moon, a.k.a. also called after the Babylonian exile, called Tishri. So the Haftarah for Parashat Shoftim, here for Shabbat Shoftim, for Senbet Farajo. You pick up with Isaias, the prophet Isaiah, Yeshayahu. Isaiah the prophet, chapter 51, verse 12 to chapter 52, verse 12. Now this is the fourth of the seven readings, Ha-Nabim, from the prophets, that are consecutively read in order before the Rosh Hashanah, right, which is corresponds with what's in the Torah as the Day of Trumpets, right, the Day of Trumpets or the Day of Blowing, the Day of like sounding, it's like sounding the shofar, like sounding, you know, the ram's horn, right, and it's interesting because here in this sixth month, right, we're in the sixth moon, and here in this sixth month, the sixth moon, it's about 40 days, right? The 30 days of this month plus the 10 days that will fulfill on Yom HaKippurim. on the Day of the Atonement. Now, there's some interesting Torah-based background to that. Because one's going to say, well, why that? Or why in that order? And as we study HaTorah, we see that what we do in the Shemesta is go through that same order even of the ancient Israelites. So even the feasts and the festivals, right, are aligned with ancient memorials, ancient memorials of our patriarchs and the matriarchs, the righteous patriarchs and matriarchs, as well as the revelations of HaTorah to Jah people. And then there's also the connection of the seasons, right? So the Torah, there's a holistic aspect to HaTorah. When we say a holistic aspect, how it's both connected, right, with the events from ancient times. A good book to read and study in this context here is the Ethiopic book that's known as the Book of Jubilees, or the Metzhafe Kufale. It's called Metzhafe Kufale. Now, Kufale actually refers to the divisions. The word Kufale Bamarinya in the Amharic is somewhat similar in the sense and the context to the Hebraic Judaic Parsha. We have the Parsha, like the portion, and the Parshiyot, the Torah portions. Why are this reading read in this season right here? Why are we reading this particular Torah reading and feeding, 48? Why does the 48 and each one of the Torah readings, they align with a certain aspect of the Shana, of the year, right? It's because of the ancient roots, right? So both speaking about things going back to creation, right, and also to the righteous patriarchs, and also the alignment is to the seasons, and even to the change of seasons. So here, as we're moving forward to the end of the churchical year, what we can refer to as the ecclesiastical year, but ecclesia basically comes from the Koine Greek. Ecclesia comes from ek kalio. Ek mean out, and kalio mean call. We put that in the Hebrew sense. We have the kahal, as we have a Torah reading and feeding previously, Vayakahel, and he assembled. So it's the assembling of I and I selves together. So it's not the building, right, but it's the body of the witnesses of I and I. You know, we are that true, you know, church, or even in the New Testament sense, a temple. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple? So even there, the temple's in a twofold sense. We have the building temple, the physical temple, as we have the first temple of Shlomo, HaMelech, Solomon, the king, right? And then we have that second, the second temple, right? The temple of Herod, often referred to as Herod's temple, that second temple. And then we come up to 70 AD, right? And the diaspora in 70 AD time. Right, and then there's actually the third temple. Now, here's where some of the controversy between HaMoshiach, Yeshua, Robeinu HaMoshiach, believers, you know, Mitmanan, the Mitmanan are the faithful, those who amen, those who credit in Yeshua, and other Yehudi and other Jews. Some Yehudi think that, well, we are to rebuild the physical temple, like the temple of Solomon and also the temple of Herod, you know, the second temple, right? And you might hear even in some of the Midrash, the ancient Midrash, there was even a dispute among the ancient Rebbanim. The Rebbanim are the scholars of Torah that later on would be called like the rabbis, the scholars of Torah. Now, just want to say this right here. Not all, right, of the rabbis, you know, were bad, but in the time of Robeinu, I and I rabbi, it was a low point, a very low point, right? And besides Robeinu and the ancient Rebbanim, right, we would still be very low. So when we say our rabbi, the rabbi of rabbis, because Yeshua is our rabbi. He is our teacher. He is our master. Now, even the term rabbi, as I mentioned before, among the true church and the professing church, the Ethiopian Orthodox Wahido Church, they use a kind of expression called a name, a title, Memhir. Memhir, if you look at the His Majesty's Bible where it speaks those verses about rabbi in different areas of the New Testament, right? The alternative term is Memhir. And Memhir basically is a scholar. So I just want to bring that point out. even in Rabboni, you know, Yeshua is dealing with the original Talmudim as a principle and type for I and I. He says the Talmud, the disciple, is not above Rebbo. Rebbo is to say his Reb, Rab, his scholar, his teacher, so to speak. But it's enough that the Talmud be as Rebbo, be as Rebbo. So that good order right there. So just to understand these kind of points right there, because it's important so we can clarify much of the confusion. But here, concerning the temple, we have the true temple, right? We see the true temple being brought out in the Brit Chadasha sense, New Testament sense. We see the tabernacle in the wilderness, right? And even the temple, first temple of Shlomo HaMelech, and the second temple, right? That later on was called like Herod's temple, or the second temple that survived and stood until 70 AD. These were object lessons. Especially when we study the tabernacle, right? It's a tabernacle of man, right? You ever heard of the reasoning of the temple of man, the tabernacle of man? How even from ancient tabernacles, ancient temples, it has been speculated somewhat rightly that these tabernacles are temples. Even we go back to Mitzrayim, we can see that structure there where it's the body of a man, where the temple, right? The likeness of the temple is that likeness of man. So therefore, the temple for I and I is an object lesson. The tabernacle is also an object lesson. It's almost like when we have children and teach children and you give children certain things, you know how we write things very large for children. You see that when they're small, right? We give them like big objects, you know, that represents maybe the smaller versions of it. So they can get to understand it. They can get familiar with it. This is what we mean by the temple or the tabernacle in the first instance, the tabernacle, even the tabernacle in the wilderness is an object lesson, right? To that holy, that set apart life that each of I and I, as called, chosen, and faithful, are to live, right? Within I and I self, right? Having his spirit in I and I, know ye not that your body is the temple and the condition is concerning the Holy Spirit. Because remember, when they built the temple, or rather the tabernacle in the wilderness, I'm trying to separate these two terms when they both begin with T. The tabernacle is that temporary structure that we have here in the wilderness, and the temple more speaks of that, the stone building, that more that bite, that house, bite HaMikdash. But the key of the sanctuary, the Mishkan, even in the wilderness, was Yahuwah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, was his presence, right, where he was Shakan, right, where he was Shakan, right, Shakinyah. Some speak about the Shekinah, right, and yes, he who be who he be, according to his own words, he speak about his soul, right. He says in certain situations, his soul will despise this and that sort of person, does not regard this and that sort of person. Now, the soul is feminine. So the usual term for the dwelling of the presence of Hashem is called, in usual Judaism, the Shekinah. We have somewhat of a little dispute with that because things need to be put in its proper context. When Josh says that he will dwell, that is the word Shakanyah. Shekinah means she will dwell. Shakanyah means Yah, means Jah will dwell. So the same principle also in the Brit Chadasha sense, know ye not that our bodies are the temple, the condition being his spirit dwelling in us. And then all of us, when we come together to gather, even for the Mo'adim, even if it be on the ear and in the iris, even if it be across this earthly plane, it's still one corporate body in spirit and in truth. Just to point out this connection here from the Brit HaYashanah to the Brit Chadasha, new covenant, the renewed covenant, right? That's why he says from the very beginning that he will dwell, he will walk in us, he will dwell in us. Even from the laws of warfare, I caught an important point. I just want to know whether you get this point here where he says that he will He will go out with us, right? Even in the implication that he will be in us. That's if we receive his word, his sound, if that word becomes flesh, if that word incarnates. Incarnation, right, for us, by that example of Robenu Yeshua HaNotri, is his word, right? We living in his word. We walking out in his word. Because loving his word and seeking to know his word, this is the magnet that attracts the Holy Spirit. We can even go to the scripts to show it when Yeshua says that if we keep his word, he said to the Talmudim, to the disciples, if we keep his word, then his Father will love us, and they would come and they will tabernacle with us, and we all shall be one. Right? We all shall be one. We said the Father and the Son is one. Yes, is one. You know, temporal displacements aside, when I say temporal displacements aside, the first advent in the person of Yeshua HaNotri, and for I and I, the second advent in the person of Lich Tafari, Rastafari, Karamawi, Haile Selassie. But here, going to build on this right here, but just to touch on a few basics, while ones and ones hopefully gather in, want to ride up with the Haftarah, the prophet's portion, also to touch on, well, what is the meaning of the Haftarot? Haftarot is the additional readings, right, from ancient times. We could say even in what's called the Old Testament times, after the time of Ezra. So this pattern of Torah reading and feedings, from our own research, we trace it the earliest origination of this pattern of the Torah reading and feedings in the basic order that we carried out goes back to Ezra, to the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah. And it was based on the reasoning, why do we go into exile? We had the Torah, right? Every 7 years, the whole Torah was read, right? According to HaTorah, we go to Yerushalayim, or where Hashem sets his name. You know, the pilgrimage, well, some of us go, for some of us it's a long distance. We all then live in the vicinity of Yerushalayim. Some were spread out far in the country here and there. So many of the ancients, Ezra, Nehemiah, and others, they reason that it's because the people didn't really have this continual education, this continual refreshing, like a well. So therefore, it was decided that what we need is in every community where there's a set of people, say maybe X amount of families, anywhere between 100 to even 200 people, that there should be 10 men, right, who are set aside, right, to function the assembly, that local assembly. It follows on the pattern of in every community, in all thy gates, there were to be judges and officers, so that in every community there would be justice and peace. In the same way, in every community there should be a moed. Now, the moed word is an interesting word. You've heard me say this before, many ones, and the moedim, moedei Yahuwah, moedei, the feast of he who be who he be, the moedim, the feast, the appointments, moed. Moed refers to appointment. It can be an appointed time. It can be an appointed space, right? An appointed place, you know. So the Moed also gets translated into the English as the feast, the festivals. We like to call them the appointments. There were to be seven such appointments that would occur in three seasons. Again, seven such appointments. You find them listed in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 23, there are the seven appointments, right, in three seasons. So here, sabbatically speaking, we are approaching the third of the three seasons, thereby sealing up, right, the in-season portion of the Shana of the year. You might have heard the expression, in season, out of season, because clearly the Torah observant Yehudim and Israelites recognize that there were certain seasons. For example, once we fulfill the seventh month, the seventh moon coming forward, we don't have any holy day other than the Shabbat day that we are commanded to keep, right? We are commanded to keep. We are commanded to observe. Let's just scroll over here while ones and ones are still coming into the gathering, right? right here. Let's go to this right here. Okay, we're going to chapter 16. Before we begin this Torah reading and feeding at Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18. But we're going to just rewind a little, right, to 16:16. Deuteronomy 16:16. Habarim, if the eye them are able, right, or take note of this to do this when you are able. Because it's important for one to see. Seeing re'e, the previous Torah reading and feeding, re'e. It's important to see, right, to seeing it. Right? In other words, even the physical seeing or experiencing is important, right, in the knowing, right, in the knowing. And ones will say, well, what about those who can't see? Well, Jah gives more grace. He gives more grace. So here we're in 16:16 where it says, let's read from King James Version. This is called in the Scofield Study Bible that we use as a basic point of reference. This section here is called the gifts of the males, the gifts of the males. It says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear, Lifnei Yahuwah Eloheka, before he who be, thy Elohim, in the place, in the Hebrew that's the makom, makom, the place, the spot, the makom, that he shall choose, that he who be, Eloheinu shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, that corresponds to the first season, the Pesach Passover season, and in the feast of weeks, or Shavuot, or Pentecost, that's the second harvest, and coming forward, in the feast of tabernacles, right, or the Moed, right, the Moed of HaSukkot, Sukkot, tabernacles, huts, you know, tabernacles, huts, or booths. But note what it says right here in 16:16 of Deuteronomy, and they shall not appear before Lifnei Yahuwah empty, shall not appear empty. Now, there's a very plain logic to this. We've explained it before briefly to explain this here again. Because, see, why is it all the males of Yisrael? Because to whom more is given, more is required. The males have that responsibility of maintaining, right, to be first in place, one must be first in merit, right? So it's also the sons, as we have Moshe speaking to all of Israel, but namely and mainly speaking to the responsibility of the sons, of the males, right, in going forward, you know, to inherit the land, to drive out the illegal squatters, the tenants, so forth and so on, that the landlord says have to get out. So here we have the Hebrew. Let's touch on this right here from the Hebrew, right? It says, shalosh pa'amim, shalosh three pa'amim, pa'amim, pa'am, like a time, pa'am, right? Ha-pa'am, right? Like time, like in a, yeah, time, right? So three times, shalosh Pe'amim, three times bashana in the year, three times in the year, ye ra'e. See, pointing is important here, because if you mispoint it, right, you would think that means see, but it actually is they will become visible. The sons of Israel have to make themselves visible in the place that he sets his name, basically in the place where the Ark of the Covenant is. Right, because the Ark of the Covenant is where he would commune with Yisrael according to Ha Torah. Shalosh pe'amim bashana yera'eh. See, it says yera'eh, right? Yera'eh, he'll be seen. But here it says yera'eh. Yera'eh is to appear. Call all zikurka, zikurka. So we have Zakar. Zakar is a male. Here we have the plural, Zikurka. Zikurka, all of the I males, right? Et Penei, before the face or in the present, Et Penei Yahuwah Eloheka, in the face, in the presence, before he who be, thy Elohim. Ba makom, the spot. Ba in the Ba, like it's really Be-ha-makom. Be-ha-makom in the Hebrew is Ba-makom, in the spot. If it was Be-makom, it would be in a spot. Therefore, the pointing is very, very important. Here, Bamakom means in the spot. If it was Bimakom, it would be in a spot. But here is in the place. In the place. Bamakom Asher Yivchar. Yibchar. Yibchar. Bachar. Bachar. To choose. Yibchar. Modern Hebrew, Yivchar. Yivchar. Yibchar. That he chooses. Behag. Behag. In the Chag, in the feast, Ha Matzot, in the feast of unleavened bread, Ha Matzot, Uv Char, and in the feast, Ha Shavuot, Ha Shabuot, and in Shabuot, the feast of weeks. You know, you have to count seven Shabbats complete, and then on the morrow after the seventh Shabbat, the 50th day, so that's also known as Pentecost Day. Uv Chag, Ha Shavuot, Uva Chag, and in the Chag, Ha Sukkot, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, in the Feast of Booths, in the Feast that's also known as the Ingathering at the end of the year. Now, it actually says so in the Torah. It says in the Ingathering at the end of the year. So wait, this is the seventh month from the first month of Abib. In the end of the year, which year of the ecclesiastical year? Therefore, the new year, the Rosh Hashanah, begins what? The civil new year. So basically, we have something of the order of 7 months. The first 7 months is the churchical, ecclesiastical, the holy year, where we have those seven appointments in the three seasons. And then in more or less the last of the three seasons, the roughly 4 to 5 or so months, is more out of season. We don't have any of the seven feasts or festivals. The only commanded holy day we have to observe in season and out of season is Yom HaShabbat, is the day of the Sabbath, right? The day of the Sabbath. And it says right here, velo, or willo, and no yera'eh, velo yera'eh, and not yera'eh, and not appearing, and not appearing, et p'nei Yahuwah, and not appearing before the face, before the presence, the perception of he who be who he be, Reikam, Reikam. Reikam is an interesting word. You know why? Because Robeinu Yeshua uses this very same word, and the translators actually, we got to thank the translators, the KJV translators on this, at least for our studies right here. When you go to the New Testament, you remember when Christ said, don't call your brother Raka? Raka, Raka. What is Raka? Don't call your brother Raka. And call not your brother Raka. Let's right here bring this up right here. Raka. I think it's R-A-K-A. I think that's how the King James Version has it. We could be wrong about this. No, it's actually C. They do that little C. Now, yeah, it's R-A-C-A. A-C-A. Boom. One time in the whole KJV, Old and New Testament, Matthew 5:22. But I, red letter, Robeinu Yeshua HaNotri speaking. Here is I and I, Rabbi, the Rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Yeshua the Messiah speaking. He says, but I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother, with his what? With his brother, his ach, his wendim, without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoso shall say to his brother, Raka, 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 shall be in danger of the council, shall be in danger of like the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin, the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire, right? Of hell fire, just a plain King Jamesian right there. So we have the word raka, and then we have the word here in 16:16 of Deuteronomy, reikam, reikam, reikam. What is reikam, right? So we have this raka here. Let's bring this out right here, brothers and sisters. It's a type of emptiness. Now, in the it's of Aramaic origin, and it's from the H7386, rake, rake. It has a sense of vain. Like an empty vessel is rake, rake, like an empty vessel, rake. So you say rake or wreck, right? Wreck or rake. You know, short, wreck. Longer, rake, right? If you say that, it's like saying it's empty. You know, like it's empty. Is any more of that juice left? Rake. Rake who? It is empty. It's idle. To say this in an ethical sense, ethically speaking, it's like a person is empty. A person is idle. It's like saying somebody is worthless, right? And whoever say to his brother, Raka, like you're worthless, you empty, right? You're a vain person, you worthless. And it comes from rook, getting to the root, rook. Rook is the verb to make empty, like to empty something out, right? To keep empty or to make something hungry, like to pour something out or pour something down. You know, you have something and you pour it out, you pour it down, and then afterward it's what? It's rake, it's empty. You emptied it out. Rook. You empty it out, to pour it out, to empty it out. So notice what Yeshua here says and how they kept that word in the translation, raka. Raka. Oh, that gives the item the verse? Hold on for a moment right here. The verse is Matthew, right? Matthew, hold right here. Matthew. We have Matthew, come back, Matthew 5:22, right? Now notice what it says in verse 23, Robeinu, I and I, Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbi, Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, who we know as Yeshua HaMoshiach, Yeshua who is the Messiah. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to HaMizbeach, to the altar, and thee rememberest that thy brother Achika, when the myth hath aught against thee, you know, has done something against thee or has something against thee. What are we instructed to do by Robeinu in the earliest part of discipleship? So when you're in Matthew chapter 5, at that early part of Matthew's gospel, this is the early portion of his instruction of I and I, Rabbi Robeinu's instruction to the Talmudim. Leave there thy gift before HaMizbeach, before the public altar, the communal altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled. Blessed Ashrei are the peacemakers. Be reconciled to Achika, to the Iach, to the Iwendim, thy brother, and then, after you reconcile to your brother, then come and offer thy gift. Notice, as we read on more here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, see how it doves here with this 48 sabbatical study for Shabbat Shoftim, for Senbet, for Rajoch. Here it says, agree. Verse 25, 525, Matthew 5:25. Agree with thine adversary. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time, at any hour, thy adversary. And when it says thy adversary, let's put this in the context right here too. Because in some cases, adversary is actually Satan, Satan. Now, before one starts to spook it out like the Gentiles, don't think like the Gentiles. Don't think like the Gentiles about God or about Elohim. And don't think like the majority of the Gentiles, you know, about what we have here in Torah or even about Satan, Satan. Because when we say Satan, right, or the devil or Satan, we start to think about some kind of mythological something. But in the Hebrew, there's the plain sense of it. In other words, we're in a court case, and I'm going against you, right? I, in your view, I'm your Satan. I'm your op. I'm your opposition. And vice versa, vis-a-vis, you go against me, you are my op as well. But here is speaking in the legal sense, right, of one's adversary, one who is adverse to thee in some or another kind of a legal matter. Right? One is not agreed in this legal matter. Right? So what is the instruction here of Yeshua? Right? Yeshua. I'm just looking through the Hebrew here, right here, looking at the Hebrew and see what word it uses. All right. So he goes on to say, less. In other words, he says, agree quickly, right? While you are in the way, you know, while we're in the way together. right, with him, lest at any time your adversary deliver thee to the judge. Isn't this Shabbat Shoftim, Sabbath judges, the Shofate, HaShofate, and the judge, HaShofate, deliver thee to the officer. Uh-oh, isn't the officer the Shota, right, HaShota? So we have HaShota, right, the Shota, right, or the Shoter, Shoter, if we emphasize fully the vowelization, Shoter, right, and we have HaShofate, right, we have the judge and the officer. Isn't this Torah reading and feeding here about judges and officers? So take note of this right here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 25 right here. Yeshua's advice to Ananias to agree with our adversary quickly. Now, more context is necessary here. More context is necessary because it's speaking about Kol Yisrael. It's speaking about Israel amongst Israel. Right, it's not talking about foreign nations or some Babylonian off in Babylonia or something like that. No, it's talking about Kol Yisrael, talking about I and I, covenant-keeping people and I and I community. Right. In fact, Yeshua is speaking this directly to the disciples as instruction for the disciples. Right. So we have to know who is being spoken to. It's like when that Greek woman, that Canaanite woman, that Syro-Phoenician woman. Okay, right? When she said that her daughter was sore vexed with the devil, right? What did Yeshua say? She can't give the children's bread to dogs. She said, truth, Lord. You know, but the dogs eat that which fall off the master's table. And Yeshua said, you have great faith, you know, because I only have come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But your faith has made you whole. So this is for the other nations, right? But for us, the direct instruction is to agree with I and I adversary quickly. Agree with your brethren. Right, or your fellow Israelite while you are in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary, right, either that disciple you're not getting along with, right, or your fellow Israelite, deliver thee to the judge, HaShofate, right? And HaShofate, the judge, delivered you to HaShoter, to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily, amen. Amen, right? Omer Lakem, I'm saying to y'all, amen, the truth, verily. I say to y'all, thou shalt by no means come out thence from there until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. In other words, one would have to pay that fullness of whatever it was. See, if you agree with your brother, like I know, okay, I owe my brother something. So let me agree with him right now. You know, okay, bro, I know I owe you that. I'm going to pay you that. How about I do it like this? And, you know, we work out something, you know, a payment plan or whatever else like that. See, it's better I do that than I say, you can't do that. We all Israelites. Forget about it. God bless you. And the man is owed something because I have, you know, I owe him something. Now, if we don't agree, maybe he want to make up an agreement with me because he don't want to have to go to court to the bite dean. But if I blow him off and brush him off and just say, well, get out of here, whatever, you know, raspberries, you know, then he might be forced, right, to go to the gates, you know, where the judgment occurred in the gates, or to the bite dean, right, and file a case. Now, if he file a case and the judge look at it, you know, he say, I tried to work this out among my brother, because that's one thing we ask. Did you speak to your brother about this before you file this case? Yes, I tried. What happened? You know, he just skinned teeth. He just, you know, he turned his back on me. Oh, okay. All right. Therefore, you know, you're in the right here. You've tried to work it out peaceably, right, and your brother refuses to work it out peaceably. You try to work it out one-on-one. You know, Israelite to Israelite, Talmid to Talmid, you know, brethren to brethren, and he refused that. Okay, so now the judge passes forward to the Shoter. The Shoter is like the officers, like we have the police today. So we talk about Babylon, fire button the police and police this. But we need our own policing. John knows we need our own policing. Yeah, truly, foreign policing is no substitute for homie policing. So we need to, you know, one and one, you know, guard each other. So we do need judges and officers. So John here is giving the instruction for these things right here. Just to share a little word on this right here, brothers and sisters, how even this here in Matthew chapter 5, in chapter 5, verse 25, lines up with this Torah reading and feeding. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him. You know, we're still in the village. We're over in the village. We're over here in our little community here. Let's work it out here in the community. Lest at any time your adversary, somebody who can file a case against you, deliver you to the judge. He goes to the judge, and the judge reviewing that recognizes, okay, we have to send the officers. And the officers will be the ones who do the arrest, basically, you know, and thou be cast into prison, right? Thou be cast into prison. So, you know, this is good advice in that time, in this time, in all times, you know, where I, you know, spend this time together. So when we appear, we're not to appear empty because Jah has given us the land. He has given us the land. Remember, all they had to bring forward was their first fruits, right, with the tithes and the offerings. So we can't go to the feast empty. You see, the context here in the Torah is that they would have gotten that land from Jehovah, right, been successful in driving out the enemy, right, and therefore have started to plan and to farm, and Jah is blessing them. And therefore, in these three times of the year, they're to bring the appropriate offering. They're not just to show up to kind of party and feast and not bring nothing to the table, right? And to give those due what their due is, whether it's the priest, whether it's the Levite, or whether it's their own people in their gates. Because one of those tithes, right, was supposed to be spent, right, on all of those who are in, right, the male's gates. So in other words, if I have my own land because I'm descended from the tribe of Judah and can trace my pedigree and this land is mine, there's many other people. Some might be Israelites, some might not be Israelites. There's a Levite, there's a widow, there's others there. So when I put up the tithe for the priest, I also put up a next tithe as well to be spent when the holy season come around and we go to Jerusalem. I'm to go there not just by myself, but to take my family. But especially the widow, the orphan, those, the Levite especially, right? But the widow, the orphan, the fatherless. Now, my wife and my children, they may come, and they should come from time to time, but the command is not, the time-bound commandments are not mandatory upon the woman. Most of the time-bound commandments, if we read the Torah, they're usually given in the male singular, right, to speak to the singular collective, and also in the male collective sense. There are certain commands that are, you know, upon the woman as well. But there are some time-orientated commandments, right, that are upon the men. In other words, we don't have any excuse. Like when it says, all the males of Yisrael, because that man is not just responsible for himself, but for his wife, his wives, his family, his children, everybody that lives on that land, right? So he's not to appear empty. You know what I mean? You know, because that's like he's being cheap. That's like he's an idolater. That Jah has given I and I the land, and he increases the rain in due time and season, the crops and the cattle and the animal to increase and to produce more, you know, livestock. And therefore, we're showing up at the feast, not bringing nothing. Nothing to the priest, nothing to the Levite. We didn't even bring the Levite in our gates. We didn't bring the widow, the fatherless, the orphan. We brought nobody. We just show up to have a good time. John says that is you falling short. It says every man, notice the next verse here seals it up. Every man, Deuteronomy 16:17, every man shall give as he is able. You hear that? Shall give as he is able. Ish kamatanat, kamatanata yado, kamatanata yado, kabirkat. In other words, the man, the gift, right, his hand. The man, the gift, his hand. Kabirkat, as the birkat, the baraka, the blessing of Yahuwah Eloheka, as the blessing of Jehovah his Elohim. Asher, that which Natan Lak, right, as Jehovah has given thee. In other words, one is to give the Matanat, Ish, man, the Matanat, right, as the gift, Yado, as the gift of his hand. Ish ke Matanat Yado, as the gift of his yad, yado, his hand, kabirkwa loheka, according to the blessing of he who be who he be, the I Elohim, Asher Natan Lak, that he has given the I. So that was also to be a false witness on Jah. If we show up at the feast, the festival, and we basically are saying that Jah did not bless us. We did not get anything. Nothing, absolutely nothing at all. There was no increase from the land. There was no increase of the crops for all year, and maybe even through the 3 years, because the tithes are to be collected over years, right? There's an extended time, like you collect the tithe, and then when one gets the opportunity to travel to Yerushalayim or to the holy place, you either bring the tithes or you convert it into kesef. You convert it into money, right? So just pointing to that right here, and of course, when we go to the feast, there's the command to be joyful. So what are the things that we have to do during the feast? One, we have to be joyful. There's a command to rejoice, right? Not, well, be happy if you feel like it. No, there's a command to be altogether joyful.
Well, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Before God.
Yes! Rastafari. Yes! Rastafari. Yes! Rastafari.
Because Yahuwah Eloheka shall bless the eye in all thine increase and in all the work of thy hands. That part right there, that just rung out. The small, still voice caused that part to ring out to Isaac Chan. It's like one can work hard, right? Like even if you work hard in the land and you farm the land, you still are dependent upon the nature, you know what I mean, and upon the Almighty. You know, the nature of natures for the rain in due season, right? So he says, and in all the work of thy hand. So the conditional is that he who be who he be, when we keep Yahweh with Zohar Derek, this is the way we keep Yahweh, truth and life, that Yah will increase us and bless us in all of our increase. So he will increase our increase and in all the work of our hands. So one could be working in vain, even if they're doing work of their hands, if they're not keeping in tune with the other terms and condition, covenantally speaking. And it says, thou shall be altogether joyful, altogether joyful, altogether rejoice, right? And not, that's the first thing, to be joyful. That means that part of the command is to regulate our soul, our feelings, our emotions. You notice that when it talks about the manslayer, charge about manslayer, it says that one who is thought to be innocent is one who did not have anger or hatred, rather says hatred against their brother in time past. So two men go out into the forest. One man runs back and say the next man is dead, but it was an accident. But then we know that this man had talked about how much he hated the next man. Therefore, according to HaTorah, that blood is on him because he had hatred. Think about the spirituality inherent in what is being said right here. Now, one might say, well, it was an accident. Really? It could have been. But with a man who has already expressed in time past hatred to the next man. So think about what sort of community we're taught to be. It doesn't mean you can't disagree with a man. It don't mean you can't call out a man and say that he's wrong. Right? And it doesn't mean that you can't even be angry about some point that's a cause. Remember what Yeshua said? Without cause. And the cause means that it can't be your because. It can't be like, well, because, like it's a personal because. No, it has to be something in Yahuwah's laws. It has to be something in Jah law, right, that's applicable, right? And then, right, it needs to have a witness, right? It's not because I see my brother not doing something, I can't condemn him. It says, like, a man should not die because of one witness. Think about this for a moment. Think about all the people that have been killed, right, or murdered, right, based on one witness. And then later on, sometime we find out that one witness was lying. Well, the Torah has something for them, too. It says that if one false witness against someone else, right, then whatever they are falsely witnessing against someone else, that the judgment should come upon them. So if one accused somebody of something like murder, for example, and we really believe that this person murdered this person, and then we find out that the person is a false witness, is a liar, that means, according to what is mentioned in Torah, we would have an obligation, right, to putting that person to death. Because if they were true, what they had said, right, that other person would have been put to death. So what does this teach us also about accusation and accusing? Now, you may think that somebody did something, but, you know, in the social media, people be doxing people, people going too far. But notice the karmic judgment, right? Just notice the karmic judgment. So sometimes we see things happen in this life, and we may not really understand it. But when we start to understand Jah law, his way, truth, and life, it kind of even explains certain things that are, you know, outside of the holy place. But the three things that we pick up right here that each of us as a son of Israel is to do during the holy days, one is to rejoice, right? Rejoice, right? And be exceedingly glad. It says the righteous, right? The righteous. If you're righteous, then, you know, you probably can get the bird up in the air, so to speak. You know, get that joy, get to the higher heights, you know, especially during the holy times. Second thing is not to appear empty. On appearing in the sanctuary, on the three pilgrim feasts and festivals, one, especially all the males of Israel, had to bring a special burnt offering, an olah, a holocaust offering, an offering that will be completely burnt, right? And peace offerings, and shelamim, had to bring a special olah and shelamim, a special burnt offering and peace offering. And lastly but not leastly, so one, to rejoice, right? Secondarily, to give, right? And it says right here that every man shall give as he is able, right? The number of burnt offerings and peace offerings, it depends on the means of the offerer. So when a man, a son of Israel, especially one that has title to land, comes forward to the feast empty, that is a real uckery, both to Elohim and to their fellow man, right? So the number of burnt offerings or peace offerings depends on the means of the offerer and the size of his family. Check the means of the offerer and the size of his family. So that means if a man have a large family, gadolim, right? Enough ones, right? That means he has to be putting up during the seasons of farming and sowing and airing, he has to be putting up that portion for all whom is due, for the priest, for the Levite, right, for the family on the pilgrimage, and also for the poor, right? There's the poor as well, right? Because Jah has given him and given I and I the land. And Jah says, well, if you don't do that, you're as bad as the Canaanites, then I'm going to have to move you out as well, right? He must not be excessively liberal, right? And we're also cautioned not to be excessively liberal, right, in this matter, to the degree that he impoverishes himself. So nothing in Ha Torah says that if you really don't have, then you really can't give. But not to be overly liberal, you know what I mean? You know, like some people splurging on everybody. Then at the end of the night, they're like, you know, like, can you give me a lift home? Why can't you get your own Uber? Oh, you spent everything? You said drinks on you all night and everything. And now, so there's a balance, right? Where it says moderation, right? Moderation in all things. So here, brothers and sisters, we're about at the first Iowa. Let's fulfill here. We have the Haftarah, right? We have the Haftarah. And we have the Brit Hadasha, the Haftarah and the Brit Hadasha coming forward.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadasha. Aliyot.
So right here, let's just touch a little bit more on the Shabbat Anoki Hu, Sabbath Anoki. I, he. Actually, the full is I, even I, he. But if you look in the King James Version of the Bible in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12, you'll see that even, right, even is italicized. So if you read it without the italicization, it's more the force of what's in the Hebrew. Anoki, who? I, he. And we have a reason that we'd like to share where even here we have the Hebrew Trinity, right, the Father and Son. Anoki, who? I, he. So the Haftarah for Shabbat Shoftim, Isaiah 51, 12 to 52, 12. This is the fourth of the seven readings from the prophets that are consecutively read before the Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, before the Rosh Hashanah. These Haftarot of comfort, they foretell of the restoration of Jah people, of the Beit Yisrael, the Beta Israel people, and the coming of the Messianic Age, the age of HaMashiach, the fulfillment. As Gurmawi Nugusa Neges speaks of, there's no kingdom or government higher than any other kingdom or government, with the exception of the kingdom of Ha'adon, the kingdom of Adonai, Rastafari. So in this week's reading here, Yahweh, Jehovah, he promised to personally, see, Anoki is like a more personal I. Ani is like a general I. Anoki is like a more, kind of a more intimate I, right? So Anoki, right, brings out here as we interpret this and read it, that he who be who he be is coming more personally, right, with Jah people to comfort Jah people and to restore the glory of Sion, to restore the glory of Zion, even the African, the Ethiopian, Israelite of Ethiopia, Zion, despite and in spite of their present suffering, sufferation, and in spite of I and I present exile. So we, I and I, here in this mystery Babylon, here in the North Country, right, here in these countries in which we were scattered, we are in a sufferation, and we are still in exile. So this word of comfort, we should take this word of comfort personally. So here, we have these verses right here. I'd like to share this right here before we ride up with Sahar Ahad right here on this fourth Sabbath of comfort. I am he who comforts thee. Who are you that are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass, and have forgotten Yahuwah, Jehovah, your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and laid the foundations of the earthly plane. So right here for Shoftim, first two verses right here, we're scrolling right here to the Haftarah Shoftim. Anoki hu menachemkem. I, Anoki, who? I, who? I, he. Menachemkem, who comforts y'all, who comforts all of y'all. Menachemkem. Miat, right? Miat, who art thou? Right, who art thou? Wa tiri. Now here's what's interesting here. I got to bring this out, brothers and sisters, before we ride up, right? What's interesting here is that in the Hebrew, right, the first part, Anoki, who? I personally am he. Menachem, who comforts Kem. Kem is like all of your male. All of your males. So speaking like the call Yisrael. Then in the next part, it says, me at, right? Me at. Now, at in the Hebrew is the pronoun to say she. Not she, but speaking to a she directly. In other words, if I speak to a woman and I say, me at, like, who are you? Like I'm saying, if I say to a woman, me aunt, me who aunt. If I say to a man, it would be me ata, who is the I, male. Me aunt here saying, who are you? Speaking to Yisrael Yasharala in the secondary sense, right, as a woman, as a bride in that sense, right, even as a wife. We see that throughout the prophets. So here he says, Mi'at, who are you? Va'tiri, wa'en-tiri, tiri, you being afraid, saying to she, tiri, you, speaking to she, you being afraid, tiri, wa'tiri, you are afraid, me'enosh yamut, who are you, lady, to say, or she, right, speaking to she, that you, speaking to she directly, are afraid of man that shall die. Vatiriya, me'enosh yamut, me'enosh, from a man, a'enosh, from mortal man, yamut, that will get muted on, or deaded on, that will die. And the son of man, right, and the son of man that shall be made as grass. O me ben Adam. O and me from ben son Adam. And from the son of Adam. Chatzir yinatain. Who shall be made like grass, or in a sense, who shall be given, you know, who will be given like grass, like the chatzir. The chatzir is like the grass, you know, when the grass is chopped down, or when one is kind of reaping, you know, like reaping a field, right? And has forgotten Yahuwah, Jehovah, thy maker. Here, verse 13, Isaiah chapter 51, verse 13, Va'tishkach, Yahuwah, and you have forgotten he who be who he be, or seka. Now here, it changes in verse 13, and is speaking to Yisrael here as a collective male, as a man. So you see that braiding, first it's saying to all of you, then it says mi'at, like who are you, right, speaking to you as speaking to a she. And then here in verse 13, it says, Wa tishkach, you male forgetting, tishkach, Yahuwah, he who be who he be, oseka, ose, the maker, oseka, your maker, the one who made thee, that stretcheth forth the heavens, he who be who he be, who be he? He be the Ose, he be the maker. And who he be the Noteh Shemayim, from Nata is like to stretch something out. You know, like when one puts their blanket or they put a sheet on the bed and you spread it out. That stretch forth the heavens. Noteh Shemayim, the spreader forth of the heavens, the place of the upper waters, and laid the foundation of the earth. Ve yosed, the Yasad. Here we get the Masada, like we get the Masod, you know, they say Mossad, the Mossad, right? The word Mossad is foundation. Right, from the Yosed, then we have on the Kabbalistic, on the Tree of Life, we have the Yesod. The Yesod is right before you get to the Malkut. The Malkut is the kingdom. Where Yosed Aret, right, and has laid the foundation, or founded, to say, the founder. Yosed Aret, the founder of the earth. The founder of the earth. It goes on right here, it says, and fearest continually all the day, afraid always all the day. Watifached, tamid, call hayom all the day. Mipanei, mipanei from the face of, right, chemat ha-metzik, because of the fury, the chemat, because you're afraid that the down presses and go hot on you. The chemat ha-metzik. Who's the metzik? It's the down presser, right? The down presser. As he maketh ready to destroy, ka'asha konein le hashachit, as he tries to establish le hashachit, destruction, right? And where is the fury of the down presser? These are questions that are asked to comfort I and I here in the season. And where chemat, and where is the heat, the fury, the chemat? Where is the chemat ha-metzik? Where is the chemat of the down presser, of the down presser man? Who art thou? Mi at. Who are you? So when we have the you all sense, the first part, Anoki who, I he, me nachem mekem, who comforts all of you, right? Then it says mi at. Who are you? So when it changes to speak to Yisrael Yasharala in the feminine sense, we know this from the Hebrew science, right, from the science of the linguistics, as well as the science of the Torah, the knowledge of the Torah. Here is speaking to Yisrael in the soul state, right? It's speaking to all of us when it says, like, one heart, one soul, one blood, as having one soul, one psyche, right? It's speaking to, we could say, the psychic aspect of Yisrael, which can be called the feminine aspect of Yisrael. So he asks, mi at, who are you, right? Watiri, that you are afraid, may enosh yamut. So in our soul, in our psyche, the psyche of Jah people, like as a woman and like as the nefesh, as a soul, remember, we soul people, he's saying, who are you? As a people, right, of pious and Elohim respecting man and people, man and woman and children, them, Yisrael should not fear a mortal being. A being may enosh yamut, a mortal man yamut, that can be muted on or deaded on. He is the one who stretched forth the heavens. Elohim, who is ha-bore, he is the bore ha-yikum. He is the creator of the universe, the universal creator. He is surely also capable of delivering man from his and from Ainai down presses. Where is the fury? Tomorrow, it will no longer exist. Babylon, it says, we shall go look for the wicked man's place. You see him expanding himself like a native bay green tree and everything, an olive tree, a leafy green tree and everything. And then when we take another stock of it, where is he? Where is the fury? Aye, aye. Where is the chemat? Where is the fury? Tomorrow, it will no longer exist. So here, just the opening words right here, as we're about to ride up with this Haftarah, right, this Haftarah, and here for the Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Trumpets, the Judaic, the Hebraic New Year, the Lunar Solar New Year, right, for the Holy Place. This is beginning in about 4 weeks, right, looking forward to the Sunday, the first day, right, the Yom HaRishon, the Ihud, September 25th, right, roughly around that time right there. And what's interesting is that on September 27th is the finding of the true cross, right? So according to Ethiopia, Kingdom of God, right, in the true Berit Kadash and New Covenant sense, we have the finding of the true cross. The finding of the true cross, it corresponds, right, according to the appointments in the Torah with Sukkot, with tabernacles. Remember when Yeshua was born, it says, and the word became flesh and tabernacle, or the translator chooses, and dwelt amongst us. That word incarnate. So this is also the pattern for I and I in our growing in grace and the knowledge of the King of Kings Christ. So during the time leading up to the high I in the days, it's customary to engage in cheshbon ha-nefesh. Cheshbon, searching, reckoning, ha-nefesh, of the soul, of the psyche. Soul searching. Cheshbon ha-nefesh, or soul accounting. Accounting for the soul. And to derive comfort that ha-Elohim, ha-Elohim, is forgiving and loving to those who truly and duly and sincerely turn to him, turn from their way to Yahweh, truth and life. Vizeh haderek, and this is the way. The sages of Jah people, they chose the seven haftarot of comfort to encourage chazak, chazak, unit chazik. Be strong, may I and I, unit chazek, encourage one another, firm up one another, to make I and I heartically ready for the upcoming high Isla Day, high holy day season. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, let's ride up with the Haftarah right here from Yeshaya, the full of full, right here. Yes, I. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot. Aliyot.
So here, the Bracha, the blessing before the reading of the Haftarah, the prophet's reading right here.
Book of the Prophet, Isaiah, chapter 50.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Asher bachar b'nebiim tobim Veratzach b'debreihim Hane'amarim ba'emet Baruch atah Adonai Habocher b'torach U'moshe abdo U'b'Israel ammo U'b'nebiei ha'emet wa'tzedek. Blessed art the I, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art the I, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 11 to 55:5. Vesa ma'ab wobolet mafesa kadus ahadu amlak. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of a gate and thy gates of carbuncle and all thy borders of pleasant stone. And all thy children shall be taught of Yahweh, Baruch Hu. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, the issop, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, Baruch Hu, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh. Chapter 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently to me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, Shema, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run to thee because of Yahweh that Elohim Guruku, and for the Holy One, the Kedushan Israel, the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Amen. Glory to him, word, sound, and power. King of kings, Kedemari, Haile Selassie, Jah Rastafari, the Almighty.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Who have left very important words tonight, even concerning the most important issues facing us right now. The relatedness of the nations, the relatedness of the families of the earth, the Hebrew people who went to all the different nations and became the dispersed of the diaspora. And the coming together now is very, very important, and it must be sincere and genuine. So as the Old Testament said, with those who have grown in the house of Israel, even as strangers among the house of Israel, and keep the traditions of Israel, and keep the faith of Israel, and keep the covenant of Israel. Blessed Lord.
But we was with him from the first time. That is why we know.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
Here, the Brit Chadasha, here, the New Covenant reading right here, the Baraka, blessing for the reading.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Natan Lanu, Moshiach Yeshua, Wehabarot, Shel Habarik HaChadasha. Baruch Ata Adonai, Notain Habarik HaChadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Shema, hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha Chadiski Dawn reading for RSS number 47, Re'eh Si, from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37 through 52. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab, V'Habein, V'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who he be, the one. John, chapter 7. The great prophecy concerning the Holy Spirit for power. Verse 37, Lamed Zain. Verse 38, Lamed Chet. Verse 39, Lamed Tet. Vayhi bayom ha'acharon ha'gadol b'chag, vayamod Yeshua, vayikra koi, ko samia, luku alai, ustu, hama amin bi, kibar hakatu, mikerpo, yizlu, nahale, maim, haim, kazo, deber al haruach, asher, tanach, al hama aminin bo, ki od, lo nishpak, ruach hakodesh, beterem lukach, yeshua, achar kabod. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua, Jesus, stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, that they who believe in him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. The people divided in opinion. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard the saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is HaMashiach, this is the Christ. But some said, Shall Mashiach come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Mashiach cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. And then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, Why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus saith to them, He that cameth to Yeshua by night, being one of them, does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said to him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. Kabur lakalu, kabur ladimtu, kabur lakhailu, kabur lakeramawi, khaile salase, be Jesus Christos sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi, Yemesken, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
This is Psalm 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana, trust me.
Yes, it's and the fullness thereof.
The earth is large, and the fullness thereof.
Wild and they that
the world
therein,
and they that dwell therein. For he had found it upon the sea,
he had born and he done the sea,
and established it upon the flood.
Established it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jah?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands,
he that hath
and a pure heart,
hand and pure heart.
Who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity,
up his
nor
torn
his feet. He hath received the blessing from Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. Generation of them that seek him.
This is a generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
I say, who?
Emperor Ili Eyes, this last the eye. Shall come in.
And the King of Glory, yes, the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
Say,
Emperor
Eile
Eye, Selassie
Eye.
He is the King of Glory.
Say, who is the King of Glory?
Jah Rastafari. King of kings, Lord of lords, conquering lion in the tribe of Judah, he makes up himself light of the world.
Of Jacob. Glorious things have been spoken of thee, O city of God. I'll make mention to Rahab and Babylon to them that know I. With the old Philistine Tyria, with Ethiopia, it shall be said that this man was born there. And the highest himself shall establish the earth. Jah Rastafari.
It's crazy. For the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. Be patient. For now,
Everything is higher.
Come.
Rajai.
Allah.
Jerusalem.
Dubai for the love of Ethiopia, a pretty land, shines to Africa, divide the people, something is magical, Ethiopia is the reggae capital, I pray, just I wanna visit ya, I pray, major blessed ya, no way, no way, not gonna leave it now, day after day, I can't believe it now.
Johnny and Jerusalem. Yes, I. So here for the 48th, the Haftarah, I have this audible one to share right here. Shoftim, I and I, the Hebrew Trinity Revelations, Ethiopia, Zion, and Thy God in the Imperial Anthem. Right here, here, here. Got an audible to share. It's local, right? But hopefully it's Talawa. It's very important right here. Building on this Anoki who, the fourth of the seven Shabbat of comfort, I, even I, be he.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, The Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important?
Yesai, shalom, Havarim, shalom. Now the Haftarah for Shoftim, very, very interesting.
As you pick off Yeshaya.
Yesai, shalom, Havarim, shalom. Now the Haftarah for Shoftim, very, very interesting. As you pick off Yeshayahu. Pick up with the prophet Isaiah chapter Nun Aleph chapter 51 verse 12 to 52 verse 12. And hear Hashem Av Havein Veruach HaKadosh Yahweh Echad. Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we be the one. And it reads here verse 12, Anoki who? Menachem makem mi'ata v'tireiya me'ayno shayamut u'mibein adam hatzira yinaten I, the Hebrew I and I, Anoki who am he, I, he, Anoki who Menachem makem that comforteth the I that comforteth y'all. Mi'at, who art thou with? Tirei, that thou should be afraid. Me, Enosha, Yamut, be afraid of man that should die. Mi ben Adam, and the son of Adam, the son of man. Mi ben Adam, Hatira, Yinaten. That shall be made as grass. Who art thou? As a people, even Jah people of the truly island and the pious of the Hasid and the Jah respecting men. Some say God fearing, and I say Jah Yah respecting man and men. Yisrael Yasharel, the upright of El. Yasharel, Israel, the man who sees the true good, the true God, should not fear a mortal being. You know, a man that is subject to death, especially man that's subject to death and has no power of resurrection. That's what it says, Anoki who? And here also is in the Hebrew, we say that the true Trinity, Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, the true Trinity is the Hebrew Trinity. Right? And here as we look at the Hebrew, see in the English it brings out the Rastafari revelation of I and I, that I and I revelation, right, to the Rastaman, the Rastaman, Taman, Bamarinyan, the Mhark Taman, to be faithful, Ras, the head, Ras, the self, Ras, the head, the self, to be faithful. So here in the Hebrew is Anoki who, I, he, Anoki who. So here we have another revelation of HaShilush HaKadosh, the Holy Trinity, he who be, who he be, yes, I, his divine majesty. So here we're in the Haftarah, Shoftim, the Shofet, judge, Shoftim, judges. So this Torah portion here is about establishing courts of law, courts of HaTorah, courts of Jah's direction and instructions. The direction and give we the teaching of his right majesty. Garmawi, Nagusa, Nagas. Garmawi, Kinamawi, Haile Selassie. Give I and I the teaching of his majesty. And here we have even this Torah portion, because these Torah portions preceding, you know, and prior, there's like seven of them. There are the Haftarahs of comfort. Comfort ye, my people. And also in this Haftarah, right, here, in this 48, Rastafari sabbatical studies, here, Shema, Rastafari, give ear, right here. We also have another revelation, the revelation of the imperial anthem of Nagusa Nagest, Zet Ethiopia. Here we have in chapter 52, at verse 7, it reads, how beautiful, how eightiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger of good tidings that announceth peace, the harbinger of good tidings that announceth salvation, that saith to Zion, thy Elohim reigneth, that saith to Zion, Omer le Zion, Malak Elohayik, Malak, rain, Malak, right, or the Malek, there's a Malek
to reign. Omer, the one who says Omer, and then we have an Omer from the root, the Amar, the Amhara, the Amar. Omer le Zion, to Zion, Malak, right? Malak Elohayik, 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 right? Elohayik. See, there when we say Elohayik, Elohayik, we're saying Tishi. Now, this also matches the imperial, right? Negus and the guest anthem. Or his mezmor, what is known in the Royal Amharic as the psalm, the chant of the people. Ethiopia hoy, Tesibalish, Bamlakish Hail, Ben Negusish, Negusish, right, in thy king, that thy king, right, that thy king, right, is thy power. Right, thy power, Ethiopia, hoy, O Ethiopia, speaking to Zion, even the African, the Ethiopian Zion, the Ethiopian Zion, Omer, le Zion, Malak, Elohayik, that saith to Zion, thy Elohim reign of Ethiopia, hoy, O Ethiopia, des yibalish. Des yibalish, be happy, speaking to she, speaking to her, speaking to she, in the feminine, right, aorical sense, speaking to she, telling her to rejoice, be happy, like we have here in this Haftarah. Awake, 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 Uri, 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 Uri. Libashi, 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 put on Uzayek. Uzayek, 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 your Uzi, speaking to she. Put on your strength. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful, thy eyeful garments, O Yerushalayim, Arasalam, Jerusalem, Yerusalem, the holy city. Did you know that Lalabella is the second Yerusalem, Jerusalem, with the what is it, 11 rock-hewn churches, O Jerusalem, the isle of the holy city, for henceforth from here forward, there shall no more come into thee I, the uncircumcised, and the unclean. Are you hearing this, Chaburim? Are you hearing this, Chaburim? Now, what's the connection right here? There we are reading from the top of the chapter in the Haftarah of Shoftim, right? And we say the prophet's reading that complements the Torah portion, and then we go forward right to the Brit Hadasha for the fulfillment. But here the prophets are here, right? Yeshayahu, Yeshaya, Esaias, Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 52. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, Uri, Uri, Livshi, O Zayich, Ziona, Livshi, Bigdeya, Tifar Tech. Now, this is interesting because we have the Tiferah in the Hebrew corresponding with that root Tiferah, Tefarai. Yes, I, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Ir HaKodesh, the city of the Holy Kilo, Yosef, Yabo, Bach, Oda, Arela, with Amei. No more shall come into thee, speaking to she, the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now, overstanding this chaburim, for that circumcision of the heart to call circumcision, where we know it's in the prophets. And then we have that fulfillment within the Brit Hadasha, the renewed covenantal sense. Now here, why this area, this Haftarah, just to give some more emphasis to this right here, right? Here we have where it says that they shall know. Right, seen, sight, thy Elohim reigneth. This is speaking of Hashem, the true good, the true God, the sustainer of the good, the generous, the open-handed, our Father, of the true good, the true God's sovereignty. Here we have the foundation for sovereignty. Search and research this, the foundation for sovereignty. John's sovereignty, his Matthew's sovereignty, will then be universally acknowledged as if it were proclaimed from the mountains. And it is from the mountains, even the highlands. Right? David had a son named Solomon. Solomon had a son named David, who renewed along with 12,000 firstborn sons of Israel the kingdom of David in the tops of the mountains. So Ethiopia, Ethiopia, hoy, O Ethiopia, Deshibalish. Bamlakish Hayil, in thy God power. Bamlakish Hayil, in thy source, speaking to she, thy source power. Benugusish, in thy king, because thy king reigneth. Malach, Malach, Elohayik, Malach, right? Malach Elohayich, right? Thy source, thy God, thy Elohim, reigneth, rules as king. This is the sovereignty of he who be, who he be, his divine majesty, Garmawi Karmawi Chayda Selassie, as it reads here, even within the Chumash notes, here for this Haftarah Shoftim, here Isaiah L-I-I and 7, Isaiah Yeshaya 52 and 7, God, the true good, Ha Elohim, sovereignty, will then be universally acknowledged, because it's proclaimed from those mountains, as the mountains round about Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, right? In the Hebrew, Yerushalayim. In the Royal Heart, Yerushalayim. And then Rastafari, Yerushalayim. Yes, I. So overstand even the relation of speaking to she, speaking to Ethiopia, right? Within that, we could say the more of the corporate, right, sense, right? Because we're the body, right? That churchical sense. And he who be, who he be, is the aras, is the head, is the rosh in the Hebrew, right? Teferet, right? Teferah, Teferai, yes, I. And then as we even move on right here, it says, hark, thy watchmen, they lift up the voice. Together, together do they sing. For they shall see eye to eye, yes, I, aras, Teferai, eye to eye. Yahweh, Jah. Jehovah returning to Zion. Jehovah returning to Zion. Bishub Yahuwah. Bishub Yahuwah. Bishub Yahuwah. Zion. Jehovah returning to Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. Of Jerusalem. And did you know Lalibela is the second Jerusalem? Let's recognize that. Check, check. For Yahweh ki Yahuwah, for Jehovah hath comforted Amo, his people, his Bu, and even in the his mezmor, his, in the Royal Amharic people, his mezmor, yeah, his mezmor, the psalm, the chant of the people, right? Decibelish, rejoice, he hath redeemed Yerushalayim, Yahweh, Jehovah hath made Bir, his Islah, his holy arm, in the eyes of all the nations. So first in 36, it was the what? League of the Goyim, the League of the Heathen, the League of Gentiles, the League of Nations. And then in 63 was the United Heathen, the United Goyim, the United Gentiles. In the eyes of all the nations, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yod-Heh, Weh-Heh, He who be, His divine majesty, Kodamawi, Kodamawi, Hallel, Selassie, has made Bir His Isla arm, His holy arm, in the eyes of the nations, in the eyes of the Goyim, and all the ends of the earth shall see, seen, sight, the salvation of Eloheinu, the salvation Yeshuat, Yeshuat Eloheinu, Yeshuat Eloheinu, the salvation of I Elohim, the salvation of Karmawi, Karmawi, Hada Selassie. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, from there, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean, ye that bear the vessels of Yahweh, of Jehovah, for ye, y'all, shall not go out in haste. Shall not go out in haste, neither shall ye y'all go by flight. For ki Yahuwah, for Jehovah will go before you. And the Elohim, Elohei Yisrael, will be your reward. Your reward. Now some say reward, right? So what is this idea here concerning the Elohei Yisrael, the Elohim, the true good, the true God of Yisrael. Nor will they have to flee from exile since he who be, who he be, his divine majesty's protection in that sovereignty will cover them in the rear to protect I and I. Now recall even that war with Amalek. And then we check Genesis chapter 15 and it says what? The iniquity, right? The iniquity of the Amorites, right? These are certain the ites. Yes, I. So the vessels, what's the vessels of Jah, Jehovah? The equipment of the liberated exile, right? B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before what? Leaving earth, liberating Ethiopia, right? Liberating Ethiopians, the basic instruction, liberating Ethiopians, right? The equipment, are ye not as the children of Ethiopia, the children of Israel? The equipment of the liberated exiles, right? The Falashas, even we, the exiles, Falashas, right? Of this Western Hemisphere will not be weapons, but the virtues of the divine mercy and loving kindness. This is why all those pseudo, right? We say pseudo pro-black, pro-whack have got it all completely wrong, 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 wrong. All right, let's overstand the vessels of Jah Jehovah. See, the prophet had a warning to them, that they should avoid defilement. Now, this is addressed to Yisrael, I, Ethiopian Hebrews, right, as the bearers of HaTorah, the bearers of Jehovah, he who be, we be, his divine majesties, directions, instructions. Yes, I. Yes, I. Yes, I. Yes, I. Yes, I.
Yes, yes, yes. So let's check out that anthem, the Ethiopia, the Imperial Ethiopian anthem, not the one by I and I, first rabbi, Rabbi Arno Josiah Ford, right, with Burroughs, along with William Burroughs, that was written up for the UNIA, you know, Ethiopia, the land of our fathers. But here, the official King of Kings Ethiopian anthem right here.
Presents the Conquering Lion of Judah, Haile Selassie the First, Emperor of Ethiopia.
So here, let's hear the words. Let's hear the words, and then we go through a interpretation of the words right here. Words, Ethiopia hoy, the people's psalm, right here.
Ethiopia hoy, des yibelish, bamlakish chayil ben gusish, tebabrewal ar venyochish, aynekam koto netzanetish, bortu nachuna terarochish, atafarim katalatochish, dil adragiu negusachin. Yenurlina lekvrachin, bartu nacho terarochish, atferim kat ratochish, dil adragiu nugusachin, yenurlina lekvrachin, Ethiopia hoy, tes yibelish, O Ethiopia, be happy, rejoice in thy God power, in the power of thy source, speaking to she. And in thy king, your patriots are solidaritous that your freeness shall never be touched, for your mountains are strong. So do not fear thy enemies, thy haters. Long live our conquering king for our glory and honor. Ethiopia hoy, des yibelish.
በቀዳማዊ በቀዳማዊ በቀዳማዊ
በቀዳማዊ
በቀዳማዊ
በቀዳማዊ
Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, Yah, Yah.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi.
The whole place is due
for help. Yeah. Let's hear the British Cousins for a moment right here. The British Cousins with their rendition of it right here before our King of Kings again. Present arms, here, once again, Emma Bait Almaz, I and I, mother-in-law here for Ethiopia, Hoy. She recalls the original verse and melody right here, let's learn this, Haberim.
Ethiopia, Hoy, Destibelish, Be'amlakish, Hal, Be'negusish. Tababrawalna arbenutish Aine kamkatonis anetish Bistu nacheunna tararotish atifarim Katalatotish Dilatrakiun gusatin Yinurilit letibrakin
Fully catch it on the replay.
Yeah, we have 60 seconds, y'all. About to go through the full here, just an overview again. And some of the basic questions here for this 48th Sabbath.
Call in to hear the full now, or hopefully catch it on the replay. 515-602-9761. To hear the full now. Now, call in, 515-602-9761, call in, to hear the full...
Many are calling, no? Many are calling, but few are choosing.
Yes. One can always check out the Rastafari Israelites. So here.
Many are calling, no? Many are called, but few are choosing. Many are called, but few are choosing. I was called, and I was choosing. It's funny, but it's true.
So here for your theme.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
So hear, hear, hear for judges and officers. Judges and officers shall we make in all of our gates. Justice. So we have justice and we have peace. So here, here's the audible.
If tomorrow is judgment day.
Original justice man. Champion song.
Oh, and I'm standing on the front line. Oh, and the Lord asked me what I give it a sound. I would say, Jaja, you know I'll kill them for you. I'll kill them for you. I'll kill them for you.
So here's a review here for Shabbat Shoftim, Sabbath Judges, Senbet, Bamarinya, and the King of Kings Bible, Senbet, for Rajoch. Here, picked up in this 48th with Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18 to chapter 21, verse 9. The overview here for our RSS synopsis here. We have Parashat Shoftim, the Torah portion known as Judges. It begins with Moshe commanding Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, to appoint Shoftim, judges, and Shotarim, and officers in all the cities allotted to the tribes, so that justice, tzedek, would be enforced throughout the promised land. These Shoftim, Ha'ele, these judges were to be above reproach, neither showing partiality, respect of faces, respect to persons or faces, nor accepting bribes on behalf of the wealthy. Tzedek terdof, justice you shall pursue, that you may live and possess the land that Yahuwah Eloheka is giving you. Now, in practical terms, the practical application in practical terms, in practice, makes perfect. This meant that every town in Yisrael, in Yasharala, was to have its own law court, or referred to as the Beit Din, the house of the judgment, the decision, right? Beit Din, with a police force to enforce the decision of the appointed Shoftim, the Farajots, to enforce the decision of the appointed judges. So we talk about firebombing the police and the police this and that and defund the police. Okay, all of that, but we need our own system, our own divinely appointed system, and here is it for the Shabbat Shoftim. Now, idol worshippers were to be punished by stoning, but any conviction must be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses, not merely one. Now, as we study this and we apply it, right, and even we apply the torts, you know what they say, tort law, the tort Torah to it, one or two, right, two or more witnesses, two or three witnesses. That means also evidence. The witness usually refers to the person, and the evidence can refer to any other kind of testimony, right? The courts, the Beit Din, right, the court was to establish and invested with the authority. Courts are invested with the authority to interpret. We call it the Targum in the Hebrew, or the Targum Bamarinya, to interpret and decide all matters of Torah law. But if a local court found a case that was too difficult to decide, it was to be referred to a higher court, which is the court of HaKohanim, the court of the priests at the Mishkan, at the sanctuary, whose decision was considered final. Now, just a point to this right here, and as we carry it forward, the Israelites of Ethiopia, the highest court was to come before the king. Remember, the king, according to this Torah reading and feeding, was to make a copy of HaTorah out of that which the priest, the Levite, had. This is what is fulfilled in Revelation 5:5 in the person of the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, root of David, person of Kedemari Haile Selassie. And to some degree, we can see it also within the King James Version as well. These are two kings in the history that have made claims, Jacobite claims and Israelite claims, but they're the only ones who have made a copy, right, of, we could say, the Torah, the direction, instruction, out of which the priests and the Levites had. Moving forward, so the higher court would be before the king, and this is called in the Ethiopic, the Chilota, before the king, where the king would decide. right? So we have the local courts, right? We have the court of HaKohanim, the priests at the sanctuary, right? And when we have a king, right, we have it before an anointed king, right, Moshiach king. We have it before the king. Now, Moshe, he saw from before, right? Moses foresaw, he saw from before that a time and hour will come when Ha'am, when the people, Jah people, would desire a Melech, a king or a Negus, if you please, to rule over them, as did other nations, the Ahazab, the Goyim, other peoples, nationalities and groups. When this occurred, HaMelech, the king, was to be an Israelite chosen by Yahweh. The king, the Melech, the Negus, was forbidden to amass many horses, to maintain a harem, and to accumulate great wealth. He was to write his own personal copy of HaTorah, as supervised by HaKohanim, the priest, so that he would be Elohim, respecting, reverencing, and Torah, John's direction, instructions, observant during his entire reign, his entire rule. In this connection, Moshe, he foretold of the coming Mashiach as the true and the rightful Melech Yisrael, the true and rightful king of Israel. Now, there's various other Torot, laws, direction, instructions that were to be enforced. The people were to set aside tithes, a tenth, a ma'aser, for the sustenance of HaKohanim, the priests, and HaLewim, and the Levites, who were given special responsibility as Hashem's messengers, as Ha'el, the Almighty's messengers, as Ha'elohim's messengers. No form of divination or sorcery was to be used to determine Ha'elohim, the Elohim's will. And all false prophets and so-called occult practitioners were to be executed. What's interesting is that the word Obia, you know, people say the word Obia, right? It's actually found in the Hebrew. It's interesting in this very same section. This is another proof that we be Yisrael, Yasher Allah. Three cities of refuge were to be established for those accused of manslaughter, to make their defense in a court. So three cities of refuge, sanctuary cities, refuge cities, were to be established for those who were accused, keyword, accused of manslaughter, to make their defense in a court. Torot, direction instructions regarding property boundaries, and the role of witnesses in legal, lawful proceedings were given. In addition, various rules of milchama, of war, were stated, including offering terms of shalom, terms of peace, to an enemy before a bakal, before a battle, before the onslaught began, and the prohibition against wanton, destruction, just destroying what you want to destroy, of something of value when cities are and were besieged. The portion here, it concludes with a procedure to be followed when someone discovered a murder victim in the field, you know, like a cold case, so to speak. But the identity of the victim was unknown, not known. In such a case, responsibility for the murder, it rested with the city that was nearest to the scene of the crime. In an atonement type of a ceremony, the leaders, right, the elders and the leaders of the city were required to slaughter a young heifer, to wash their hands in the priest's presence, in the presence of HaKohen, and to pray for forgiveness. To pray for forgiveness, basically to recuse themselves and the city. So here, Chaburim, here. Let's ride up right here with the Q&As, right? The Q&As. Let's go through some of these Q&As here. There's 72 in total, but let's see how many of them we can, you know, respectfully go through, you know, and reason upon. So first question right here. What does the word shoftim mean, chaverim? According to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18, well, shoftim, it means judges or magistrates, shofts, shofet, all right? Hek, shaus, shof. The plural is shofet. The plural form of shofet, shofet is one judge, shoftim is many judges. Generally, judges were esteemed Levites or those who were Torah sages, right? Rebbanim, or those who were learned in HaTorah. That was one of the main qualifications, right, for a shofet, a judge, and for the shoftim, right, who are also called, right, because of their being agents of Yahuwah HaElohim, HaElohim, they were also known as the Elohim. Right, they were entrusted to discern. When I say the Elohim, not individually, but as a collective, and in the role that they serve. This is why the shoftim were esteemed Levites or Torah sages, Rebbanim, scholars of Torah, who were entrusted to discern and interpret Ha'el, Ha'el, the Almighty's Torah, and to settle disputes for Ha'am, for Jah people. Second question here, Q&A for shoftim, for Parashat Shoftim. What does the Hebrew word shotarim mean, chaverim? According to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18, shotarim originally refers, in the Hebrew, refers to overseers or officers in Mitzrayim, in Kemet. We have this in Shemot, known as Exodus, chapter 5, verses 6 and verse 10. And verses 14 to 17. So originally, the shoter, an officer, the shoftim were overseers and officers. During the years in the Midbar, in the desert, in the wilderness, in the wilderness, the Hebrew word was applied to the 70 elders, right? The 70 ziknei Yisrael, the elders of Yisrael, of Yasherah, Lahu, shared the weight of governance, administration, and governance with Moshe Rabbeinu in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, and in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 15. Now, later on, they became associated, later on in the Hebrew tribe and the Israel tribe, they became associated with military, religious, or you could say spiritual, religious, righteous, religious, and civil officers who enforce HaTorah. Question three, Q&A here for Shabbat Shoftim. Who first suggested the idea of a judicial system to Moshe? Well, it was Moshe's Chotein, his Chotein. Chotein is father-in-law. That was Yitro Jethro, his Midianite, Ethiopian-related father-in-law. According to Shemot, Exodus chapter 18, verses 14 to verse 26. Q&A number four, fourth question here for Parashat Shoftim. Why did Ha'el, the Almighty, seek to appoint Shoftim with Shotrim, judges and officers throughout all the cities of the land, according to Devarim, Deuteronomy 16 and 18? The welfare, the shalom, the dechinet, the welfare of the theocratic state, the moral theocracy, the welfare of the theocratic state, it required that Jah's law was upheld and transgressors were punished. The Rebbanim, the sages of Torah, they admitted, they credited that the baraka, the blessing, the good fortune, so to speak, of Yasharal, of Yisrael, it deep-ended. It depended upon the behavior of its shoftim. And thus we also have Psalm 82. Psalm 82 is all about shoftim. It's speaking to the shoftim and the shotrim. And they are the ones who are called the Elohim because they are his agents. And therefore, they serve on his behalf. And the judgment is Elohim. So the welfare, the shalom of the theocratic state, it required that Hashem's Torah, that Jah's Torah was upheld and transgressors were punished. The sages admitted that the Baraka, the blessing of Yisrael, depended upon the behavior of its Shoftim and Shotrim. That's why Psalm 82, the Tuesday evening psalm appointed, as it was chanted in the tabernacle, as it was chanted also in the temple of Jerusalem, it speaks on corrupt judges arraigned. They interpret the opening verse of the book of Ruth. What's the opening verse of the book of Cherut? Cherut. The opening verse of the book of Ruth is, in the days when the Shoftim ruled, there was a famine in the land. Ruth 1 and 1. In the days when the Shoftim, the judges, ruled, right? Shefot ha-Shoftim. The Hebrew is Shefot ha-Shoftim. When the judges judged. That's the sense of it from the Hebrew. When the judges judge, or it may be translated as when the judges ruled. Shefot ha-Shoftim. There was a famine in the land. This was interpreted by the Rebbanim, the rabbis, the scholars, the ancient scholars of Torah, to mean that the Shoftim, the judges, were themselves judged. And this is why the famine was decreed up on the land. So when Gormawi, Nagus, and the guests, the Imperial Majesty asked, upon the accusation of certain ones concerning the famine in Ethiopia circa 74, 75, at the time of the creeping coup against his divine majesty, he said, who causes famine? Is it God or is it man? So why the famine was decreed upon the land? In fact, we can share this right here, just this little portion right here of Psalm 68, because it's found elsewhere throughout the scripts. So by studying, we can see how it all fits, how it connects, you know, how it all connects together, you know, how it all connects together. So here in Psalm 68, which part of it was, is it this part right here? Let's play this part.
Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
Well, actually, it's in this part here, the first part of Psalm 68.
Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him.
Let Elohim arise. Here come the judge.
Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, Yah, Yah. And rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land.
So the scholars of Torah interpreted the opening verse of the book of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, Shefot ha-Shoftim, there was a famine in the land, to mean that the judges were themselves judged, like we have in Psalm 82. And this is why the famine was decreed. I violently, divinely decreed up on the land. We have Psalm 11 and 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a traditional translation of it, but more better, the translation is, when the foundations are being destroyed, what do the righteous do? See, the translator here chose to bring it out as, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? But actually, it's when the foundations are being destroyed, do the righteous do? Do the righteous say, I'm just too righteous to do anything about it? What do the righteous do? So thus, you know, righteous basically in the Torah sense can mean that you haven't been convicted of a crime. If you've been accused, but if you haven't been, you know, convicted of a crime, one is righteous. If one is convicted of a crime or has done a wrong, then in that instant, you don't have that righteousness because you are guilty. So that's is a basic term that some, you know, kind of in a spiritual counterfeit Christianity twist out of shape. But if the foundation are destroyed, when the foundation are being destroyed, what do the righteous do? What are the righteous doing? Right? Where's the Shoftim? Where's the Shotarim? Question here, question five. Who was responsible for appointing judges according to Deuteronomy 16 and 18? Ha'am, the people themselves, they selected qualified mandem, right, to serve as Shoftim based on their John-like character, right, based on their godly, their goodly, their John-like character, and their abilities as Torah sages, as scholars of Torah, as Rebbanim. Later, this became a function of the Semicha. In the Hebrew, Semicha is the laying on of hands, or the ordination from the judicial ruling bodies. The commandment to appoint Shoftim, right, and Shotarim, right, Titain Lecha, Titain, the Hebrew is Titain, to give lecha, to give for you, like to give for yourself. So we appoint the judges and the officers for I and I selves. Judges and officers titain lecha for you, according to Deuteronomy 16 and 18. This here implies the titain, to give, giving lecha, your giving for yourself. It implies that no judge or officers, no shoftim or shotarim, were to be regarded as, quote, above the law, above HaTorah. No judge, no officer is above HaTorah. I mean, think about it. Even Hashem himself follows his own way, follows his own words. You know, so who is a judge or officer that thinks that they are above HaTorah, but rather to function as agents of Elohim, and therefore have his name Elohim up on them, to deliver the downpressed from the downpresser, from the downpresser man. Question six, how were the judges to judge the people according to Deuteronomy 16, 18? Well, according to the word in the Hebrew, mishpat tzedek, mishpat judgment, tzedek, just or righteous, mishpat judgment, tzedek, just or righteous. They were to judge with righteous judgment. That is, according to the principles of tzedakah, charity, righteous giving, righteousness. They were to model themselves after the Anshei Chayil, the Anshei, the men of Chayil, the men of power of Chayil, like we say Chayla, the power of, right? Chayil, in the Hebrew, Chayil, like in them, hark, and the Ge'ez mean power. Men of valor, men of might, Anshei Chayil. So the judges and the officers of the model themselves after the men of power, the men of Chayil, the Anshei Chayil. Moshe chose to be the Ziknei Yisrael. These are the ones that Moses chose to be the elders of Yisrael. So it wasn't because some man is old or he got gray hair or whatnot like that. That's not the qualification. Maybe a visual qualification, but that's not the righteous qualification. The term mishpat tzedek, mishpat judgment tzedek, righteous or just, it implies that a verdict will benefit both parties involved. The wrong party will be given restitution. The party that has been wrong will be given restitution, while the guilty party will be given an opportunity to do teshuva, to repent, to think different, to have a change of mind, to turn away from their stray way and to walk in Yahweh, truth and life. Vizor haderek. This is the way. Question seven. What three characteristics must, is a necessity, must a judge possess? According to Deuteronomy 16:19, what three categories or characteristics, slow it down. What three characteristics must a judge possess according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19? They must not be unfair, right? Unfair. In other words, they must not be non-Torah. They must not show partiality, respect of faces. They must have no facial recognition. In other words, in judgment, right, if your mother and papa came there, just to say, You know, even then, you said, well, I'm supposed to honor my mother and father. You're supposed to honor Jah first because he's the one that said, honor thy mother and father with a reward. They must not be unfair. They must not show partiality. They must not take bribes. Must not be unfair, twist judgment. They must not show facial recognition or partiality to the friend or this one or that one, the rich or whatever. And they must not take bribes. This applies, of course, that they revere Ha'ilahim, Elohim. And the key here is that they love Ha'emet. They love Emet. Emet in the Hebrew is truth, right? They love the reality, Ha'emet, Amito. They love Jah's truth, his truth. Question 8, why are bribes, in Ethiopia they call them gubo, right? We have shohad, right? Shohad here. Why are bribes considered a grave offense? Like it's such an offense, it will end up one in the grave. A grave offense in matters of justice, according to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. A shohad, in the Hebrew, shohad. In the Amharic, they refer to this as the gubo. Right, is an attempt to persuade someone to judge or to rule in one's favor, to show you favoritism. And this will pervert the cause of the righteous. One thing I can say about the British and the English laws, and I'd be watching their you know, movies and different things, series and everything, and some of their police series, they say, you know, perverting the course of justice. That phrase they use, perverting the course of justice. This really brings out the Hebrew sense. You know, ain't that something? The Berit Ish, British, Berit Covenant Ish. They bring out that sense, perverting the course of justice, of righteousness. The sin, the ukri, the fukuri, of accepting a gubo, a shohad, a bribe, will actually damage the judge's vision in order to see the righteous things of Ha'ilahim, right? Will blind the eyes of the hakamim, of the wise. Question 9. Why is the word justice repeated in Deuteronomy 16 and 20, where it says, tzedek, tzedek terdof? Now, we touched on this before from the English, because the English says, that which is altogether just or altogether righteous, right, thou must follow, right, altogether. They say that because in Hebrew we have a repetition of words that say, like it's really, really, for real, and we say for real, we do the same thing because we Hebrew people. So even in English, we have this sense of repeating words. And you'll notice that among the Gentiles who we have sojourned, they may have picked up on this, but it's not something that they really seem to naturally in their spiritual, psychological DNA do. So here in the Hebrew, we have it as tzedek, 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 just, or righteous is repeated. Now in the King James Version, right, in 16, let's go to 16 right here. Here's the reading of it. In 16, where we add in 16:20, it says, that which is altogether just, thou shalt follow. Altogether. The word altogether is not there, and that which is not there. What is there is tzedek, tzedek. It's a repeat of the word tzedek, just or righteous. Tzedek, tzedek, terdof. The repetition of the word in Hebrew is signifies that one must pursue justice, tzedek, using tzedek means. That we must pursue righteousness or justice using righteous or just means. Certainly, for show, not through deceptive or so-called underhanded methods like entrapments. Entrapments. We're not to use entrapments. That's what it says, tzedek, tzedek, terdof. We must pursue righteously and never use a form of evil of ra'ra, for a supposed good. For example, torture to obtain information in war. No, we don't do that. We don't torture to obtain information in war. In fact, we can go to Abba Father and ask him for the info, like David did. Should I attack now? And he told David, nah, wait until the, you know, I blow the wind on the top of the trees and everything. You know what I mean? And, you know, gave him, you know, the intel that he needed. We don't have to do those things. So Tzedek Terdof, pursue, right, to pursue righteousness, right? Righteousness for righteousness' sake by righteousness means. Question 10. What was the goal of HaTorah, the Torah, direction, instruction for Ha'am, for Jah people? And why a legal or a lawful code? Well, in speaking of HaTorah, the Orit, what does it say in the Mashal, the Mishlei Shlomo, in the Proverbs of Solomon? Why is this man? What does he say in speaking of Torah? Her ways, yes, Torah, she, her. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are shalom. Again, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are shalom. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17, yes, Shlomo is speaking of Torah. Yes, we know that Torah is she, right? She who belong to he who be who he be. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all of her paths are shalom. The goal of HaTorah is the administration of justice, of tzedek, which is a state of shalom, of peace. Peace with Elohim, peace with man, peace within, and peace without. But without HaTorah, right, there would be anarchy and destruction. Life would be, quote, short, nasty, and brutish. Sounds familiar in these latter days and times. Life would become, apart from HaTorah, short, nasty, and brutish. HaTorah, it functions as a restraint, even as a yoke, a restraint upon the evil inclination. So we call the Yetzer Hara'a. The Yetzer is the inclination to Hara. Hara, ha, the ra'a, the evil, the hurtful, the ill, the unkind, inclinations of the depraved human beings. See Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Saul, a.k.a. the apostle to the Gentile, Paul's statements in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Also Paul's statement in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and Paul's statement in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. And you know what, brothers and sisters, right here? Because not going to even try to rush to get through these 72 right here. Hopefully, Jah willing, we'll have that opportunity in the Shabuah coming forward. But here, let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Let's take the first one first, and let's go to 1 Timoteos. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. 9-11. Verses 9 to 11. What does it read? Knowing this, that the law, HaTorah, is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, the hard of hearing, for the ungodly and for the sinners, the uckers, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurious persons. And if there be any other saying that is contrary to sound doctrine, to healthy teaching, according to the glorious gospel, the good news of the blessed Elohim, this was committed to my trust. Now, people say, oh, but that sounds like, for us, not for us, because you holy, you holy than thou, right? See, the first thing we do, we just admit it, and then we receive the baraka. We admit this. Maybe you're not ungodly, but maybe you're a sinner. Maybe you're not profane, maybe you're holy. Maybe you didn't murder father or mother, but felt like it. Maybe you're a whoremonger, maybe not, but maybe you defile yourselves with mankind. Maybe you're a man stealer. You know, like maybe not literally stealing people like slavery or something like that, but there's other ways to do it psychologically. Maybe you're a liar, maybe not, but maybe you're a perjured person. Or maybe none of this, but maybe there's some other thing that is contrary to healthy teaching. that you are. You see, the first thing we do, we admit the truth, right? Because remember, it's about loving the truth, right? Loving the truth is not just about the other person, but loving the truth is also, you know, loving the truth about yourself. In fact, even if it's a bad thing that you have to admit, it's still an act of loving yourself. Because he who cover up his sins, his uckery, will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them and leaves them will receive mercy. That's also, you could say, a Torah-based legal injunction, right? 5 and 20, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. What does it read, Chaberim? Moreover, the law, HaTorah, entered, that the offense might abound. Why did Torah come about? So that the offense might abound. You know, we talk about the Torah, people talk about, I ain't dealing with that, and it somehow makes them just do more offensive things. It's interesting, right? Moreover, HaTorah entered that the offense might abound. But where sin, akari, abounded, grace did much more abound, did much more abound. Galatians 3:19 can get into a clarification of these matters. Because a lot of folks, they misunderstand Paul. They talk about Pauline Christianity. Even many Rastas, they be saying anything about Paul because they're viewing the Western Gentile church. But then they're going to be in a conundrum because Matthew doesn't have that same view about Paul, because Matthew is saying his advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. It's based on that Judeo-Coptic, that Judeo-Hebraic root foundation. So we know the truth, what Paul is saying in truth. But if you read Paul without Torah as a foundation, then you can have millions of denominations of counterfeit Christianity like they exist. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. And I say that to some of the Hebrews, too, who are anti-Paul because they still got a lot of that Western Gentile Christianity in there. You got to confront it, brothers and sisters. The true intent of HaTorah, right, is condemnation. And as a preparatory discipline, as a Tory discipline. Because remember where they came out from, right? See, originally it was the 10 words. It was the 10 words called the 10 Commandments. But right after they had entered into it, they went back into some of their Cometicism, and other kind of isms, schism that other people were doing, right? And this is where they had to get, you know, more case law and more attention to details, the fuller full. Wherefore then serveth HaTorah? Where service the Torah? It was added. It was added to what? It was added to the 10 words. Most folks don't know that if the Israelites didn't do all that ukkery they did with the molten calf, a lot of the additional Torot no doubt would not have been given. Because the Torah is those 10 words. The rest of what we have in the judgments, the additional commandments, is case study. It's kind of a case in point. You know how people are. You say, don't do such and such. What do you mean by do and do such and such? Okay, let me give you an example. If such and such and such happens, and this is where we get the, that's why it says it was added, right? The Torah, the fuller full, right, was added to the 10 words because of transgressions, right? Because people still went too far with stuff. Till the seed, the race, should come. Till the seed should, like, grow up, right? Should come to whom the promise, the yea, yea, and amen, amen, was made. And it was ordained by angels and by the angel, even the angel of the presence, in the hand of a mediator, in the hand of a mediator. People say, what? How is that? No, it wasn't. Yes, it was. That's what Moshe told them in this Torah reading and feeding, that, you know, remember what happened when the Torah came forward, or when the law, the 10 words, and you heard Josh speak, and he spoke what he spoke. Y'all got afraid. And what did Josh say? Josh said that, it's right that they got afraid. You know, in a sense, it's almost like they did right to getting afraid, and they called for Moses to be their mediator. Remember when they called for Moses to be their mediator? Right here, we have it right here, the great prophecy of Messiah in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and 15. The great prophecy of Messiah, the prophet, Moshiach HaNabi, Yahuwah Eloheka, Jehovah thy Elohim, will rise up to thee a prophet, a Nabi, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like to me. So Moses is speaking, like to Moshe, to him y'all shall hearken. This is why we refer to Moshe as Robenu. as our rabbi, our Torah scholar, and Yeshua as Rabbeinu, because they both are mediators. Moshe, right, we could say of the Torah at Sinai, and Yeshua HaMoshiach, right, of the Brit Chadasha. Verse 16, it says, according to all that thou desirest of Yahuwah Eloheka in Horeb, in the day of the assembly. Assembly, another word in the Old Testament sense for church. Yeah. Not speaking of the building, but us together as one corporate body, saying, this is what the Israelites said to Moses, let me not hear again the voice of Yahuwah Elohai. Let me not hear again the voice of he who be, who he be, Elohai. Elohai in the Hebrew is my God, my power. Elohai, Hailei, my power. Neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. That's what the people ask Moshe. That's actually, if you want to find it, Exodus chapter 20, the latter part after the 10 words. That's where they came to him, and they cried out. And verse 17, and Yahuwah said to me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. They have well spoken it, that Moshe would be their mediator. But here, let's go forward right here. In speaking about question 11, why did Elohim prohibit trees from being planted near HaMizbeach, near the altar or near the public altar, the one altar? According to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 21. You see, before this, man can make an altar anywhere and do any kind of, you know, sacrifice, you know? But now that we are in covenant, there's one place for sacrifice, one place for worship, right? One can pray, one can praise everywhere, anywhere, but there's one place for worship. And there's three times in the year where we worship. People don't understand that because they don't know what the word worship means. But why did Elohim prohibit trees from being planted near HaMizbeach, according to Deuteronomy 16 and 21? Firstly, trees were planted in and around the heathen, the other nations' temples and holy places and shrines. Hailehim sought for no association, zero tolerance, no association to be made with these sort of customs of other nations, of other people. Secondarily, trees were planted simply to make the heathen shrines look more attractive, basically. And the juxtaposition of this commandment with the qualities required of judges, of shoftim, of the previous verse, is taken as a warning not to appoint judges based on their external, characteristics, such as, well, he looked good, he looked like a judge, or he has a status, he come from a good family. So you'll see that the commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 20, it's associated with the qualities required of a judge. So as we study Torah, right, we recognize not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law is a warning not to appoint judges based on their external or physical or their outer or material characteristics, such as good looks or some sort of status, or he looking like a judge. Question 12, Q&A here for Shabbat Shoftim. Were sacred pillars always forbidden to Jah people? According to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 22, now the sacred pillars are the obelisk, right? Whether the obelisk, the uncircumcised bull penises of ancient Egypt, that's what it is, or the circumcised obelisk of Aksum of Ethiopia. If you look at the two obelisks, one is the bull penis, right, because of what they regarded to be high in their spirituality. And we have the lalabella, which is a circumcised, if you look at the top of the obelisk. So that's what I mean by the sacred pillars, right? So were sacred pillars always forbidden to Jah people? No, it wasn't. But we have Jacob, he sets up an obelisk for Howlett, Estella, right? We have the other patriarchs, they also set up one, but I know that Jacob did. So no, it was not. Before HaTorah was given to Amo Yisrael at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, Yaakov, he erected what we call in Hebrew, the Hebrew word for a pillar, it's a matzeva. What's interesting is that if you look at the pyramids in Egypt, the step pyramid, and look at how they buried, they had the matzeva, right? But the Hebrew matzeva is more like the pillar, right? The pillar that goes up, the matzeva, matzeva. Jacob, Abino, Jacob, our father Jacob, he erected a matzeva at Beit El, right? After his dream, according to Bereshit, Genesis 28 and 18. And later, Moshe, he set up 12 haulatoch, matzavim, right, matzavot. He set up 12 pillars for the 12 tribes at Sinai in Exodus 24 and 4. So the practice was forbidden after the sin, the uckery, the fookery of the molten calf, falsely called the golden calf. This is when that practice was forbidden. So, yes, we have Israelites set up pillars, right? But you'll notice where this change comes in right here and why the change came in. Note that the Rebbanim, the sages, associate a sacred pillar, right, with a sinful judge. A sinful judge. Time when the pillars, the matzavas, were forbidden to call Yisrael. The sages, they associate this sacred pillar with a sinful judge. Something, right, that Ha'elohim, that Ha'el, that the Almighty hates. He hates. Question 13, Haverim. Why is HaTorah against offering a blemished sacrifice mentioned in connection with the appointment of judges, Shoftim, in Deuteronomy 17 and 1? Right? Why? Right? So here, a blemished sacrifice is thought to represent a defective judge. That is an abomination, lifnei Yahuwah, in the presence of Jehovah, in the POV, in the point of view of he who be who he be. Even if an animal with a defect is worth a great deal of kesef, a great deal of bur, a great deal of money, it is forbidden to be sacrificed. Whereas an animal that is inexpensive but defect-free, it is tamim, it is perfect. That means if an animal has one head and four legs, it doesn't have anything over, doesn't have anything less, it's acceptable for HaMizbeach, acceptable for the altar. Likewise, a wealthy shofet, a wealthy judge who is unqualified is not acceptable. So a man of wealth, a wealthy man who wants to be a judge, but he's unqualified, just like the blemish, you know, the sacrifice, is not acceptable. He has a blemish. Question 14. What was the penalty for engaging in personal idolatry, according to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 2 to 7? What was the punishment? Well, a person proven guilty, not just accused. See, in our, amongst us, lost sheep or lost found, a lot of things happen on accusation. And what's the first thing when somebody accuses somebody of something? There's no proof, but they say it happened. Well, you don't know me. You know who I am. You know who I am. You see, that's that kind of shite, right, that needs to get slaughtered right there. A person proven guilty of engaging in personal idolatry, and this is based on the testimony of two or more witnesses, it was to be publicly stoned to death. The accusing witnesses, check this, and you can recognize what Yeshua was doing with the woman accused, when the woman accused, right, in adultery. Notice that they only brought the man. Can a person commit adultery by themselves? Right? So that case needed to be thrown out. That's what Yeshua did, right? He didn't co-sign any uckery. He just threw out the case because they basically were malpracticing Torah. The accusing witnesses were required to be the ones who began the execution. That's why he says, ye without sin, throw the first stone. He wasn't talking about general sin. He was talking about specific sin. I don't know why people don't see the spirit of what was going on with the woman accused. That's why they only brought the man. I mean, they only brought the woman. They didn't bring the man. Where was the man? The accusing witnesses were required to be the ones who began the execution of the offender. Now, note that some of the sages, they say that the person should be stoned at the place where the idolatry was committed. Right? Quote, out to your gates to demonstrate how the idol would not save him from execution. So you're worshiping other gods, Elohim Acharim? Well, call on them, right? See if they can do anything to save you. In Colossians 3 and 5, it says this, Colossians, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Upon the earth. Check this. Our members which are upon the earth, mortify them. What does it mean? Don't mean members like you're a member, I'm a member of the church, you're a member. No. It's talking about the members, like the members of our body. Mortify. Mortify here, it's not speaking literally, but mortify means put to death. Therefore, your members that are upon the earth, which are fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, that is idolatry. Covetousness. What is covetousness? It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Let me ask you a question. Is it permitted in HaTorah for me to covet my own wife? Yeah, I should have a lust, a desire for my own wife. I should not lust after, I have a desire for somebody else's. So that brings out the sense of what covetousness is. You have a strong desire to have something which you have no right to have, right? So here, the sense of this can be brought out better as, so put to death whatever in your nature belongs to the earthly, the lower plane of reality, and the higher height, the heavenly. Put to death whatever in your nature belongs to the earth. Sexual immorality, impurity, shameful passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Now, we see this directly as saying that the greed is idolatry, but all of this together here in this section in Colossians 3 and 5, to bring it forward to the new covenant, the reality here of a new covenant, the Brit Chadasha. Here, question. Here we have question 15. Is astrology a form of idolatry? Uh-oh. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 3. Well, yes, it can be. Elohim never commanded the sun, the moon, or constellations to function other than to mark times and seasons for the acceptable worship of him. Now, this does not mean that according to Torah, there's not a astro-theological connection, astro-theology. And in that sense, a context that some might call astrology. But in the sense that the world knows it, yes, it is considered a form of idolatry in the worldly way, the world, flesh, the satanic, the popular way of men and people. Because Elohim never commanded the sun, the moon, or constellations to function, right, other than to mark times and seasons for the acceptable worship of him. Question 16. Why was the testimony of a single witness insufficient to establish the truth about a legal matter? Why is the testimony of a single witness not sufficient to establish ha'emet, to establish the truth about a legal matter? Well, to warn us against judging a person based on circumstantial evidence. So you can strike that out too. We don't move on circumstantial, right, circumstantial evidence, right? The testimony of at least two witnesses was required, both of whom who were required to independently testify and to be separately cross-examined. That means that we make them testify separately, and then we put them on the cross. We cross-examine them separately for a conviction to be made, not for them to, like, strengthen each other in their lies. Question 17, why did the responsibility of beginning an execution fall to the accusing witnesses? Well, to remind them that while it is easy to accuse someone, their involvement in the case will not end with their mere testimony or accusation. Knowing that they would be required to, quote, first cast a stone and cast the first stone should make them extremely careful with their testimony and with their accusation. Question 18, Kavareen. What was the penalty for a deen Zomamim, Zomamim, Adim, Zomamim, false witnesses. They are to be punished by receiving the very sentence that their victim was to receive. Refer to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 16 to 19. Note this, that a conspiracy to perjure must be proven for each false witness before this sentence, before the judgment and the sentence can be given. We're going to sum this up here looking at the time we have right here, about 5 minutes, right? What is a Beit Din? A Beit House Din is a house of judgment. It's what one might call a really just, a religious court that consisted of three judges, three Shoftim, the Trinity, three judges selected by a greater Sanhedrin. The three were required, a greater council assembly. The three were required to resolve a stalemate between two verdicts. Every town with a population of less than 120 required a Beit Din, a house of judgment, however. If a town did not have qualified Shoftim, a court is forbidden there, and cases must be immediately escalated. You know when I say escalating a case? Must be escalated. The general requirements for members of a Beit Din are given in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 13, and in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Hear, brothers and sisters and brothers, hear Sabbath seal song, because we have to ride up, meditate on these reasonments right here. Got a couple more questions. Well, you know, we only went to 18 out of 72. You know, let's just chew on this for right now, brothers and sisters. Here. Dub of the Nazarene.
Two, three, four.
Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plant grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Get on!
Shavua Tov. Good, strong week to come. 7 days, Shavua Tov. Jah bless the eye and I and I. Keep I and I, cause his face is grace to shine on I and I. Give I and I Yeshua Shalom. Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom. Shavua Tov. Yes, I. Malkam Ehud. Blessed first day. Be well, brothers and sisters. Shalom.